The Piano Matters is a production of the Classical Network and is supported in part by listeners like you. Become a member at WWFM.org. Thank you. Together again, I'm David Duvall, and I bring to you The Piano Matters. Heard each week, same time, same station. I have lots to offer. Hopefully, it's quiet, and we can enter the magical state of meditation. And what is meditation? It's active listening. I have many records for you, seldom heard. Today is Halina Czerny Stefanska, the victor in the 1949 Chopin Warsaw Competition. Actually, she shared the first prize with Bela Davidovich. Let's hear Stefanska in the Mazurka Opus 33, number 3, a heartfelt little piece demanding that unique type of Chopin rubato, which when Chopin played, seemed as a new vista in piano playing. Like all mazurkas, they are in 3-4 time. Giacomo Meyerbeer, then the most famous opera composer in the world, heard Chopin play his mazurkas from time to time. In this case, he said, "You are playing it in 4-4 time." Chopin was furious. What he really heard was Chopin's Slavic sense of rubato, the robbing of the phrase. Here it is with Czerny Stefanska. The Mazurka Opus 33, number 3, played by a once famous pianist, Halina Czerny Stefanska. The composer, the great conductor, Boulez Pierre, wrote, "We look for new sonorities as composers, new intervals, new forms. Where it will lead, I don't know. I don't want to know. It would be like knowing the date of my death." And in many ways, Boulez is right, because the creator cannot know where the ending is or what the new sonority will be. Then there's a quote by the violinist Heifetz, who wrote, "I occasionally play works by contemporary composers, and for two reasons. First, to discourage the composer from writing any more, and secondly, to remind myself how much I appreciate Beethoven." But don't you think Maestro Heifetz is being glib? we never must discourage composers from writing more, and we know how wondrous Beethoven is, that we do. But we need both if musical art is to remain a healthy art. Well, it is Beethoven that we hear, the final movement, 1802 of Beethoven's Sonata in D minor, Opus 31, number 2, in the Romantic's fateful key. What was that? D minor. Today I give to you the third movement, marked Allegretto. It's in sonata form, meaning there's an exposition, the development of the ideas, called the development section, and the recapitulation of the ideas, and everything has to come together and bring it into the home key of D minor. It's based on a persistent four-note motif, so Beethovenian, which passes to a throbbing, heart-piercing mordent. It's an Italian word, morder, to bite. You'll hear those little bites. I think it's like a farewell to youth, and Tovey calls attention to the exquisite pathos. The performance will be by the late critic and pianist Harris Goldsmith. Thank you. in a well-balanced, thoughtful, and yet emotional presentation of the third movement of the Opus 31, number 2, we heard Harris Goldsmith. The subtitle Tempest, by the way, was not Beethoven's. And someone asked, what was the meaning of the piece? And he said, probably not even knowing that the play was a comedy, he said, read Shakespeare's Tempest. Well, the Tempest Sonata is no comedy. I have a comparison of a Chopin etude. Opus 10, number 7, is truly a devilish technical challenge. It's like a toccata, actually, requiring steel fingers for changing on the same note with the first finger and thumb of the right hand. There is further need to articulate the melodic line in the fifth finger. This is no easy task. James Honecker asks, were ever beauty and duty so mated? I have two players in this study, or etude, both Russians. First off, Andrei Gavrilov. Russian pianist Andrei Gavrilov in the Opus 10, number 7 of Chopin, the etudes that changed forever the concept of piano playing. It was good. Now for the 23-year-old Ashkenazi, Opus 10, number 7. Yes, sir, it was Vladimir Ashkenazy, and I think perhaps it's even more compelling than the Gavrilov. But tell us what you feel. It's your heart and head. Jerome Rose is an artist to reckon with. He has been honored by the Hungarian government for his Liszt recordings. A little-known Liszt work is the important and masterful opening of his cycle called Poetic and Religious Harmonies, inspired really from Lamartine's 1820 poems by the same name. You will hear it played by the American virtuoso Jerome Rose.
Thank you.
Invocation, the first of the set of nine pieces of the Poetic and Religious Harmonies, one of Liszt's immense cycles. Probably of the pieces, the great ones, the greatest of them, are the Funerai and the Benediction to God in the Solitude. It was played by Jerome Rose, and I think you felt it was played well. I surely did. Lord Longford, in 1913, stood up in the House of Lords, I can see it now, and he said, "The male sex still constitutes in many ways the most obstinate vested interest one can find." Coming up is the late Alexis Weisenberg. We're going to listen without break to two Rachmaninoff preludes, the mighty B-flat number 2 from the Opus 32 and the subtle Opus 32 number 13 in D-flat. Here is Alexis Sigismund Weisenberg.
Thank you.
Many people do not really love Weisenberg. They feel that he is steely. They feel that he's overprojected. I feel that he was a very important pianist of the second half of the 20th century, and I believe I'm right. But what does belief mean? Pascal said, "Everything that is written merely to please the author is worthless." And that's the same if it's only to make money. Try it. Write a potboiler. It will be worthless. Each bad piece of work hurts art itself, be it a bad painting, a bad song. I know it's a tremendous concept, but it is actually detrimental to society. But if it interests you to produce something of value, then you have a chance. But even so, only a very wee chance. I have another appearance on the Piano Matters of the very fine Korean-born pianist who lived in Australia and lived many places, now in New York, her name, Vivian Choi. She's graced many a concert stage. On this edition of the Piano Matters, let's hear Vivian Choi in the finale of Prokofiev's oft-played Sixth Sonata. It's vigorous music, but the optimistic Prokofiev of his youth is replaced by a mingling of gaiety and sarcasm as the ominous subject of the first movement of the sonata reappears, reminding us that all is not well with the world. Prokofiev himself gave the world premiere in 1939 on Moscow Radio. It was a world on the brink of disasters. there we had Vivian Choi giving her whole heart to the musical message of the Sixth Sonata of Prokofiev in its finale. Mozart wrote two piano concertos only of his 27 in minor keys, number 20 in D minor and number 24 in C minor, all within the same small range of time. We'll hear the finale of the 1785 piano concerto number 20. Think of it. The Mozart concertos number 20 through number 25 span the period of only February 1785 to December 1786. Here is the exciting last movement of the 20th concerto with its enchanting themes. Richard Good with the Orpheus Chamber Orchestra.
Thank you.
Certainly it was a fine rendering of the 20th Concerto's finale of Mozart. Richard Good with the Orpheus Chamber Orchestra. It was Kerschel 466. Mozart, of course. To succeed, Baudelaire said, you must be a certain type, the type that must succeed. And so they do succeed. The respectable, Baudelaire thinks, portrays a certain weakness, even cowardice. What do you think? Do you think that the weak will inherit the world? I am now going to play for you a piece that Rachel Katz, our producer, our director, and our everything, loves. I don't even know that she knows she loves it, but I take it for granted that she does. It's Balakirev's transcription of Glinka's wonderful song, The Lark. But the piano piece is even more wonderful. Balakirev's transcription of Glinka's song, The Lark, performed by Philip Fowke, F-O-W-K-E. Thank you. the Glinka Balakirev Lark, our final music on this edition of The Piano Matters. And if the series matters to you, my friends, please open your pockets. Help keep us going. It's that simple, and I believe it's that important. Here's a quote from the writer, physician, scientist, Oliver Sacks. He says, "Music can lift us out of depression or move us to tears. It is a remedy, a tonic, orange juice for the ear. But for many of my neurological patients, music is even more. It can provide access, even when no medication can, to movement, to speech, to life. For them, music is not a luxury, but a necessity." This is David Dubal. Thank you for listening. Piano Matters is produced at the studios of WWFM, the Classical Network. The associate producer and engineer is Rachel Katz. For a complete playlist, log on to wwfm.org and click on Playlist. The Piano Matters is made possible in part from the support of the listener members of WWFM, the Classical Network.